Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Time to get you dialed into the biggest stories of the day. This is the Daily 10 with Matt Chernoff.
Guess who's back? Back again. Okay, I'll stop. Matt's back. Good to be back. It's the Monday edition of the Daily 10. Thank you so much for making us a part of your Monday. And hopefully it happens each and every day. You can subscribe or follow this podcast, and you'll get it waiting for you at your favorite podcast platform. We will get to a crucial game, number 4 for the Hawks, in a moment. And a win for the Braves, which was also pretty big. But let me remind you, we're brought to you by the Daily Draft in downtown Woodstock. It's the ultimate sports bar experience. They just celebrated their one-year anniversary by giving back to you guys. Head to the Daily Draft, downtown Woodstock on Main Street. Find out more at thedailydraft.net. Follow the Daily Draft tap room and bar on Instagram and Facebook to keep up with all the goings-on. But here's what you have to know. It's the ultimate sports bar experience, from their wall-to-wall flat screen, self-serve taps, craft bar, and chef-inspired menu. And during lunch, that menu offers you a chance to get 10% off your bill when you mention the Daily 10 podcast. Just say, hey, I listened to the Daily 10. Matt said you would take 10% off my bill. Simple as that. So go check them out. Today, they've got a Monday burger and brew deal that gives you their featured burger and domestic beer for only $12. That happens all day long. All right, let's get to the news of the day, starting with the Hawks. And we have playoff basketball tonight at a sold-out State Farm Arena. The Hawks are breaking out the MLK jerseys and the MLK floor as well. Maybe that will bring some better shooting luck and a few more defensive stops for the Hawks, as they will see tip tonight at 7:30 against the Sixers, who lead the series 2-1. Now, the Hawks are coming off that 127-111 loss on Friday night to give the Sixers the lead in the series. That loss also snapped the Hawks' 13-game home win streak. They've been so good at home since really about March. But the Sixers weren't going to be stopped, or at least the Hawks didn't stop them. Philly shot 58% in that game 3. They also had 28 assists. Conversely, the Hawks, who shot the lights out in game 1 from 3, haven't been able to recapture that magic. The Hawks shot 6 of 23 from 3-point range on Friday night, and they only had 15 assists, which put those two together, and it's not going to be a winning formula. The other thing is the DeAndre Hunter loss becomes more glaring by the game. Remember how impressive he was defensively in the Knicks series? It's just something Solomon Hill and Tony Snell can't come close to doing. Offensively, the combo of Hill and Snell scored 1.25 minutes that they played in game 3. Again, more on the DeAndre Hunter loss in a moment, but that's been the biggest difference, I think, up to this point in the series. On the other side for Philly, they're getting contributions off the bench, which it was going to be tough enough for the Hawks to beat Philly if Embiid was healthy and productive. But now you're throwing in, like Friday night, the combo of Korkmaz and Dwight Howard scored 26 points off the bench on 8 of 14 shooting. It's not going to be, you know, able for the Hawks to overcome something like that. So fast forward to tonight. I think Nate waited too long in making this move, but I think tonight you better have Kevin Huerter in your starting lineup if you want to add more shooting and ball handling. Or the other wrinkle, maybe you start Gallo at power forward, drop John Collins down to the 3, and Clint Capella stays at the 5 to give the Hawks a bigger lineup that also gives you more shooting with Gallo on the floor. Now, it shortens your bench no matter what you do, but if you're Nate McMillan or any of these coaches, you should be leaning heavily on your starters anyway. I know the Hawks love the idea of going 8, 9, 10 deep off the bench. So maybe your bench is Lou Williams. If Gallo starts, Kevin Huerter, conversely Gallo. Okongwu for a few minutes. And either Tony Snell or Solomon Hill just for a few minutes. But game 4 tonight should be around the 40-minute mark for Trey, for Bogey. For most of these starters, the only one is Capella that you have to watch, because Clint, who was such a good defensive player, he has no answers for Joel Embiid, which I understand, considering Embiid is just a monster who gets to the line every time you touch him. So game 4, while it's not a must win, if the Hawks have any chance of extending the series, they have to win tonight. So back to the loss of DeAndre Hunter. Every game that goes along, you just see that if the Hawks can't shoot the lights out, which they did in game 1, they hit 20 three-pointers. That'll cover up a lot of other things. When that's not happening, which is not realistic to hit that many threes, you lose DeAndre's defensive ability, which we saw in the Knicks series when he locked down Julius Randle, when at times they put him on Derrick Rose. In this series, and I thought DeAndre was going to be the key to the series because he could play Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris. You could even drop him into the backcourt if you wanted to, you know, on switches so you don't have a mismatch where you're getting wide open threes from Seth Curry. That's all lost, and you're not going to be able to overcome that, so that's a very big deal. A healthy Philadelphia team is better than the Hawks. That's just a given, but it's a huge mismatch when you don't have DeAndre. Again, the only elixir is shooting the lights out tonight from three-point range. If that means the Hawks can hit 13, 14, 15, that's going to negate some of the losses the Hawks have, which is a big deal. So we'll see what it looks like tonight. One more note on the Hawks before I get to the Braves. Nate McMillan has not had a lot of criticism and hasn't deserved it because Nate has been so good since he took over for Lloyd Pierce. But this is the second time in the playoffs I've scratched my head watching Nate some of his decisions in a playoff game. Now, let's be clear. This series, I don't know that Nate's going to swing it one way or another, and the Hawks don't have championship aspirations yet, but there might be a point where they're championship good, and you can't have lulls or issues where your head coach hurts your opportunities to win games. That could be something down the line. But little things. Again, starting Solomon Hill in Game 3 instead of starting Kevin Huerter for more shooting and floor spacing was just, to me, stubborn and frustrating. In the second half of Game 3, Nate started Tony Snell, which was also a bad option to start the third quarter. Snell's had a good year, but he's just not your best option there. Snell is a two-guard who rarely shoots, and Philly knows that. Then Nate did the whole bench unit thing at the end of the third quarter in Game 3, which was horrific. The Hawks were minus 5 in that two-and-a-half-minute stretch. So instead of maybe cutting a 15-point lead to 10 or 11, they were down 20 going to the fourth. That's a huge difference. The full bench strategy in the postseason is just mind-numbing and frustrating, considering the schedule in the postseason allows you to go heavy minutes with your starters because you've had two games in the series that were separated by 2 days off, not even in every other game, 2 days off. You could go 38, 40 minutes for most of your starters and just play that way. And the last thing, and this is a big deal, Nate not specifically calling for intentional fouls on Ben Simmons, and I mean repeatedly in the fourth quarter of Game 3, was just short-sighted. Philly is scoring at will against you, and you don't foul a guy who's just 7 for 20 from the free throw line in this series. It's crazy to me. Simmons is hitting just 43% from the line in the playoffs. And it's not like Nate doesn't recognize the strategy. He called for an intentional foul of Simmons when the Hawks were up by 8 points in Game 1, which that was odd. So this is the second time in the playoffs where I've kind of questioned Nate and said, yeah, you can't have this stuff happen to you. He's not going to be the reason they specifically win games, but he can't add to the issues when you're already outmanned by a better Philadelphia team. So Game 4 comes up tonight at State Farm. Hopefully the Hawks can muster enough shooting to try to even the series. All right, the Braves. They salvaged a win against the Marlins yesterday, so they didn't get swept in their three-game series. They won a baseball game, which right now is not the easiest of tasks. Just when you thought they were turning the corner, right? They take 2 or 3 from the Dodgers. They win Game 1 against the Phillies. Then the next two games against Philly, you get walked off in a couple of games. Just stuff that has just stopped this momentum all this season. Then you go to South Florida, you lose a 4-3 game on Friday night, a 4-2 game on Saturday night, and yesterday, thankfully, Drew Smyly, who's got their last two wins, pitched well enough. Again, he wasn't great, but he pitched 5 innings, gave up just 2 runs, 6 hits, did strike out 6, and only walked 1. Offensively, Austin Riley broke out of an 0-for-17 slump. He went 3-for-3 with a long ball, 3 ribs, and a walk. And he went oppo, which was great to see that. That's when you know I think Austin's in his best place. So the Braves are now 5 games behind the Mets. They enjoy a day off today, and then they'll open a quick 2-gamer against Boston. Folks, this next 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, I know we keep saying this, like it's going to be time to figure out this is maybe where they are and where they're going to live in this hovering close to 500 world. Or are they going to make a push? Over the next 17 games, the Braves will play 7 of those ball games against the Mets. So it's 2 against Boston, 4 against the Cardinals, 4 at New York, which includes the makeup game and a doubleheader, 4 games at Cincinnati, and then 3 back in Atlanta against the Mets. In a perfect world, you'd love to go 5-2 against New York in those 7 games to make up some of the deficit. in that 17 games, like, let's see the first good extended stretch where you go 11-6 or you go 12-5 and you say, how does that happen? Well, it's not one thing that has bitten the Braves throughout their struggles this year. At points, it's been the pen. Sometimes the offense has gone quiet. Other times, the starting rotation hasn't done their work. It's been a myriad of things that they just can't get right. But if you're ever going to get right, now would be the time over this 17-game stretch, 7 against the Mets. Can you put up 11 or 12 wins to get over 500, get feeling good about yourself, and cut into this deficit? Because if it doesn't go that way, you could be 8, 9, 10 games out of first place. And remember, the Mets are a banged-up team that will start getting pieces back sooner rather than later. All right, if you guys would, hit the subscribe button for me or follow this podcast wherever it is you get your favorite podcasts. It'll be waiting for you each and every morning. And if you pass the message when you see me mention it on social media, give it a like or a retweet. That always helps. We are brought to you by The Daily Draft in downtown Woodstock. Go to thedailydraft.net to find out more. Follow them on Instagram or Facebook. Mention the Daily 10 podcast when you grab lunch in downtown Woodstock on Main Street, and they'll take 10% off your meal. I'll be on 680 The Fan this afternoon in Atlanta at 3 o'clock and back again tomorrow for the next edition of the Daily 10.
Subscribe to the Daily 10 now and get the latest breaking news and biggest stories of the day every morning. Get more at 680thefan.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family-owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.